Ephesians chapter 4. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Thank you that this moment belongs to you. We thank you that we receive revelation, more of who you are in us, who you called us to be, and what you expect from us. We just thank you for this moment. We bless you right now in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4, and we'll touch on some other things that we touched on last week as well. I think the Apostle Paul, I think it's two people, and this may be my opinion, but then my opinion is kind of strongly founded on some truth that's in the scripture. I think that there's two people that really had a strong revelation of the Christ, Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul. Most of the great things we saw done in the New Testament were under their ministries, or recorded under what their ministry is. And I think they had a very, very strong revelation of who Christ was, who Jesus the Christ is, and who he is in them. And so because of that, it allowed them to do great things amongst the people and to really represent the church well, or really represent as the church. Remember, the church is not a building, it's not an institution. It's not a set of laws or a set of rules. It is you. You are the church. I am church. Say it, I am church. So we have to remember that. One of the things that I always want to remind us is that we've got to we can't allow ourselves to stay stuck in religious thinking. I looked up the word religion. It comes from the old Latin word, and I really don't know how to say it too well. I know it's regulare or religare, but the original Latin word that it came from meant to bind. Bind, just like bound, just like bondage. And so it was to bind you to a set of rules or laws or to restrict you. But Jesus came to free us. Are you understanding me? Came for freedom. Give you a little history lesson. The way things went, and you might have heard me say this before, but the way things went from the beginning of time up until Jesus, there was always, you always had to go to the priest. He always had somebody that would hear from God for the people. He showed his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. So there was always somebody to stand in between. We like to call them shadows of what Jesus was. They were always an in-between person. The high priest was always an in-between person. It always, certain time of year, used to call it Yom Kippur, or certain times of year, they would go in and take an innocent animal and shed innocent blood for the sins of the people. Only the priest could go in. And so the people would be waiting and kind of dependent on that blood sacrifice from the priest. It would only take it only cover their sins for a certain amount of time, but they would have to go over and over again doing that same thing. And so now we go down the line, but from the beginning up until Moses, there was no regulation on people. There was no regulation on mankind. You go do your research, read your Bible from Genesis up until Moses. There was no regulation. The first set of regulations that there were on mankind that was down on something where man had a set of laws or rules to follow, live by, or to enhance their lifestyle was the Ten Commandments. So now here we go, bam, the Ten Commandments come. So now we have law. Now we have law and we have rules. We have things set in place, not to harm you, but to keep you. It's really to protect you from yourself. This time, you can only imagine right now there were no laws. You can imagine how things would be if there were no laws, there were no lines on the road. Have you ever been on the road, they were on construction, but they didn't have the lines together? Yeah, you're trying to figure out where you need to be. So you're trying to catch that sideline and make sure you're on that side. Don't let it be a two-lane highway. You don't really know where you should be or what area you should be driving on because there's no lines, there's no guidelines. So guidelines are a good thing. Can you imagine if there were no red lights? No stop signs, no police that's on the side of the road making people slow down. I mean, it'll be mayhem. If there were no laws to keep people from breaking into people's houses and to protect people or different things like that, it'll be mayhem. So law is not bad, okay? Understand what I'm saying? Law is not bad when you're standing on the right side of the law, right? When you understand what it is. But at this time, there's no sacrifice. They're making sacrifices over and over again. So now 10 commandments come. Now we have some rules. We have 10 rules that we got to follow that enhance our lives. Because thou shalt not kill is important. We know one of the first things we saw in the Old Testament was right after Adam and Eve, these sons, they kill each other. Cain kill Abel. It's even written in their story about, I think it's Cain's grandson. I don't know if his son is grandson. And he ended up killing the man. He said, well, surely God gonna forgive me because he did it for my grandfather. And so now there was no standards for them to hold by. So now, up until then, now you got the Ten Commandments. All right. Now, somewhere between the Ten Commandments and when we begin to read the book of Acts and begin to read the New Testament, somewhere between them, we got buku other laws. Buku, you know, it's a lot. We got all these other laws and all these other rules and all these other things that were given and that were said that, and now it's put, now it's the book of the law. This book of the law should not depart from thy mouth. Y'all know the scripture, right? Right? This book of law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou may observe to do all that's written in, for then thou make thy way prosperous. Then thou have good success. They were set up, the book of the law was set up for you to have guidelines, all right? Guidelines and laws to live by so that you would not kill yourself. There was only one problem with the law. The law only had one problem. Only had one problem. Well, two problems. Two problems that both was in man. One problem with the law was it was very judgmental, and it caused man and men to be very judgmental and condemning. Because what happens if you break the law right now? Anybody ever got a ticket before? Right? That's a condemnation. They condemned your driving for that particular moment. You get it? I know that's a strong word for you getting a speeding ticket, however fast you were going, but it's a judgment on how you're handling yourself on the road. You understand it? Anybody breaking rules right now, there's a judgment. Some people are condemned to prison, right? We call them convicted, but the same word, they're condemned to prison. They're, because they have broken the law, they get condemned. So it caused men to be very judgmental, right? There was no room for grace and no room for mistakes. Because if you made a mistake, it's time for you to go. I mean, they was even murdering people at a time, all right? That's one problem with the law. Wasn't a lot of love there, right? Wasn't a lot of second chances, all right? Second problem with the law was that, so here we go. On one side of it, if you did something wrong or you messed up with the law, you know, you're getting put out. You're getting shut down. You're getting murdered. You're getting condemned. You're getting sent out from among them, right? But on the other side, this is the second problem with the law, you couldn't keep it on your own. You could not keep the laws on your own. They were failing over and over again. I was reading a book yesterday, and it says, One of the things that we like to say in current modern day churches, we need revival. Well, that's an error. Revival is an old covenant understanding. The word revival comes from, we call it revival. Jesus is alive, isn't he? So he doesn't need to be revived. Are you understanding me? There doesn't need to be a revival because once Jesus came, he brought everything back to where God originally had it. And it's been that way since Jesus paid the price. You understand me? So now what are you reviving? If he's alive. Are you understanding me? Revival was an old concept because what was going on was the people of God, we can call it the church at the time, the people of God would go off for years and years of idolatry and disobedience and off to other gods, and then they would come back in needing revival because it wasn't working for them. Are you understanding me? So over and over again, you see those little books in the Bible that we skip sometimes, you go read through that, you see the little short one. You see Nahum and Obadiah and all these different books that we don't really get a lot of text out of. Sometimes we find something, but most of the time we don't. You go look at the beginning of all those chapters, and it says, and the word of the Lord came to the prophet Obadiah, or you name it, came to the prophet to rebuke the children of Israel, or to correct them, or to get them lined back up over and over and over and over again. They could not, I'll say they because we are not much different than them. They are us before us. We could not keep the law. We couldn't do it. We're reading Romans 8 in a minute. The problem with it, we couldn't do it. Even to this moment right now, you try very, very, very hard to do it, but you can't do it. Some of the stuff, like, you ain't supposed to, like Jesus said, you ain't supposed to think this way. Well, how you do that? You know what I'm saying? With all the foolishness in the airwaves, all the crazy thoughts, how do you do that? So the problem with the law was that it was judgmental, it was condemning, right? You couldn't make any mistakes, but then you couldn't do it all right because you wasn't empowered to do it. All right? This is Old Testament. Are y'all with me? So now this is how the church, you know, back then it was temples, it was synagogues. You know, we call them Christian centers right now, or house of worship, or whatever we call them, right? From that time until now, this is the way that they were doing things. It was the law and nothing else. They even say the Pharisees used to be so serious about having the law. They thought when they say write it upon your heart or write the law on you, they had tattoos all on their faces. Without the scriptures written all over. Just to try to show that they were holy people. Or that they were that serious about the word. About the law. So now here we go. Now this is a brief history lesson, but here we go. Now we didn't broke into the New Testament, and here comes Jesus. Here comes the John the Baptist already been yelling. You're familiar with that, you go read it. John the Baptist already been yelling, talking about they got one coming. He already a wild child. He already a wild man. They already don't want him in the synagogues because he talking some noise that they not with. He talking about they got a new king coming. Well, these powers that be, these Pharisees, Sadducees, these priests have already been in place running things like they wanted to run it. They've already been established. It's already establishment. It's already traditions of men. The religion, the bondage has already been put in place to bind you to some laws. The only reason you'll bind somebody to it because you don't trust them being free. Get it? Handcuffs. You ever seen handcuffs? Have you ever seen people, the police put them in handcuffs, right? Why do they put people in handcuffs? To restrain them, to bind them, because I can't trust you being free. If I leave you free and just put you in the back of the car, we don't know what you're going to do. You get it? So now that was to bind. And you know, I don't really blame him because man needed to be bound a little bit without any power to be able to do the things that they need to do. So here comes Jesus now. And most of the time we think that we go straight to Easter Sunday. We go straight to shedding the blood, getting pierced in the side, on the cross. It is finished. And we go straight to that and think the victory is there. But the victory started when Jesus started talking. Are y'all with me? Matter of fact, when he hit the earth, it was time for change. You know, Jesus even knew where he was supposed to be when he was 12. His mama had to pull him back in because it wasn't time. But now when he comes, he's about the age of 30 years old. He comes now walking. John the Baptist baptizing people, and John the Baptist fussing at people and baptizing at the same time. Right? And tell you vipers. Remember that? Come, you vipers. Now Jesus come, and now John the Baptist know who he is. First cousin, but he know who he is. Right? Baptize Jesus. Jesus come out the water and start talking different. He starts talking a different lingo. He starts talking totally different. This is what I'm trying to tell y'all. And I hope I can. I know I got to go through this history, but I hope I can help you a little bit with where we're going as the church. Say, I am church.
I am church.
And all I'm doing is I'm going through this because I need to break your mind, because there are some things that are coming that's going to shake your foundation if you ain't ready. Listen to me well. How long you been in church? Come on. Yeah. Still got some things, yeah. Yeah, and praise God for that. But there's some things, your foundation, but there's some things that are coming that are going to shake some of the things that you thought was your foundation. All right? It'll be lined up with Jesus, and it'll be lined up with the word of God, but it'll be steps in direction where God wants us to be, where we haven't been for years because of the traditions of men, because religion has been binding us. See, there's no reason. He who the Son set free is what? Free in D. That means I'm free in my doing. Who the Son set free. Are y'all understanding me? And so now I should not be bound by religion. I should be free with liberty. Are y'all with me? So now here comes Jesus. He's talking. And today I really thought about it. I do a lot of studying on Jesus, and I really thought about it. And I can imagine how that was hard to take. For Jesus to show up and say, you're looking for the Father, look at me. For Jesus to open up the book that they've been studying and open up, to Luke 4:18. It's Luke 4:18 for us now, which gives the account of it. But it was something written in the Old Testament. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he goes all the way down the list. And then he says, today, this has been fulfilled in your eyes, and closed the book and sat down. I don't know how I would feel if I've been doing this for so long. I mean, even the pastor come in and tell you we're doing something totally different from what we were doing. I don't know how we feel. I was thinking about Apostle the other day. Do a little research on that, too. Apostle took the Word of Life Christian Center. Before it was Word of Life Christian, it was Mount Zion Baptist Church down in downtown Darrow. It was a 100-year-old church. You know, I was younger when he did it. He was telling me stories about it. But, you know, he came in there, you know, and ended up pastoring the church, and he took the steeple out of the church. Somebody will kill you for that in the Baptist church. This is mom of them church. This is my great-grandma of them church. We've been going here for years. What do you mean? Take a steeple. Then he's going to chip the Mason sign out. Now, you might not be familiar with that. We chip the Mason sign out the side of the corners on the church. Oh, Lord. It's time to fight outside. No, then you're going to change the name from Mount Zion Baptist Church to Word of Life Christian Center. Right? Well, I can imagine how that's hard to deal with when you've been doing things a certain way for so long. I can imagine how it's hard to change and progress and move forward when we've been doing it like this. And, you know, we may not have been getting the results that we wanted, but everything's been in place. You get it? But God is a God of progress. He's a God of advancements. He's a God of moving forward, all right? So now here comes Jesus, and he's saying all these different things about love your neighbor. Pray for them to despise, that they try to use you. You get it? He starts saying these stuff in the Beatitudes, and it started blowing their minds. It started shaking them loose. They really didn't know what was going on. So they begin to ask questions. You hear it over and over in the gospel. They ask them questions. What about this? What's the greatest law and the commandment? Or what you do if somebody died and they got married? Or what you do if this and this? What you do with this? And Jesus is answering everything over and over again. I can imagine it being hard for them to take because it was such a way for such a long time. They were, you ever somebody being stuck in their ways? Yeah. You know, but you're stuck. I don't care what, you're stuck in your ways. You're not moving forward. Yeah. And they were stuck. So now here's Jesus, and here's what Jesus is doing, all right? And you'll never be able to be church until you realize that he is church. Mm-hmm. Listen to me well. We study a lot of different things and a lot of different texts and a lot of different scriptures and a lot of different subjects. But Jesus is the main forte and the power. Jesus the Christ is the power behind it all. If you do not get a revelation of the Christ, listen to me well. If you do not get a revelation of the Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. Now, Jesus was his name. The Christ was who he was. Are you understanding me? Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, what is people named Jesus now? So it can't be just in that. Right? But it's in the, Peter said, thou art the Christ. Are y'all understanding me? The anointed one and his anointing. When you hear the phrase, I'm going to help you out a little bit. When you hear the phrase, in the name of Jesus, it means in the character of Jesus. When you talk about name, you're talking about a character. So it's in the character of Jesus. But what's the character of Jesus? That me and my Father are one. I only do what my Father, as I hear, I judge. He knew he was the Christ. He knew he was connected with the Father. I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Saying stuff, well, I can imagine. Can you use your imagination? Even right now in 2016, with all the advancement we have, that's kind of hard to take some time to tell you that you are God and God are you. Huh? It's hard for you to say that you and God are one. It's kind of tough. I can say it in any common church, and it could be churches that word of faith, you name it. And I can go ahead and say that in there, and it'll shake them up, even though Jesus looked at them and said, you are God's. I can imagine the shakeup. But I realize that unless you get a revelation, and in Matthew 16, it said it very clear, and I'll say it in Ephesians 4, it talks about it too. Unless we come to a revelation of Jesus the Christ, do more studying of these red words and find out about Jesus the Christ, we'll never be able to function as the church. We'll always be stuck on law and religion. We'll always be stuck on rules and regulations. And remember, rules and regulations are not bad. Thank God that there are regulations and things that keep things in order. But those are not the things that make your being. You get it? You get it? You got to be able to drive straight when there ain't no lines. You got to be able, I'll give you another one. You ready? I remember driving right here on Highway 22, and I'm going to the intersection, right? And I was driving straight through. I was going to drive straight through. I was going down that way. They had a back way to go to the house. I was going straight through. And, you know, I'm driving. It's a green light. Light turns green. So I'm ready to go. For some reason, I just wait a little while before I pull off all fast. Car comes zooming through. It never happened to anybody else before? Well, at that point, the law couldn't save me. At that point, the law had nothing to do with what was going on. At that particular moment, I had to be careful. I had to be observant. Yes, the law is in place, but if I get hit by this car and my life expires, it doesn't matter. The law, what the law going to do? Are you going to blame the law? Even if you do something to the person that ran into me, I'm still gone. So for the preservation of my life, I had to be something. Are y'all understanding me? That's good. That's good. I thank God for the laws. I thank God for the laws. I thank God for the guidelines. You understand me? Right? But I got to supersede the law. You ever heard the statement above the law? A lot of times it's using a negative connotation because they think people just they're not held to anything, right? But no. We got to get above the law. Actually, that's cool too because you're not held to nothing. You're able to function outside the constricts of what everybody thinks you're supposed to be doing. You get it? That's Jesus. I believe they would have recruited Jesus and kept him inside the building if they could have. They'd have recruited Jesus and kept him inside. He'd have never met Zacchaeus. Oh, Jesus would never minister to the woman with the issue of blood. He'd have never broke bread and fed 5,000. Because they'd have kept him in there. Until he had to break loose and realize who he really was in God. Are you understanding me? So now here's Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. Everybody say revelation of Jesus. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus is how I am the church. Are you understanding me? Everything that Jesus was saying was teaching us how to be church. You get it? Church is not a place or an institution or a set of guidelines. It is you. Tell me what church exists without people. I'll wait. A church building, or if we want to look at it, tell me which one exists without people. It can't. Then what kind of service you had and wasn't nobody there? You get it? You are church. Say, I am church.
I am.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am church.
I am.
Say it one more time. Say, I am church.
I am church.
But to properly function as church, we've got to have a clear revelation of Jesus the Christ. In Ephesians 4, it said this, And I don't want to read the whole thing. I'm going to jump down to verse 13. This is one I was kind of jumping on last week. Verse 1 through 12 is all explaining us what should go on until verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, realize it didn't say Jesus here. Are y'all realizing this? I'm saying this for a reason. It didn't say that we come to the knowledge of Jesus. All right? It says come to the knowledge of who? The Son of God, right? And into a perfect man, into the measure, the stature, the fullness of what? Now, you got to understand what's being said here. Because when you come, are you ready for this? When you come, listen, when you come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, it's talking about coming to the knowledge of who you really are. To them give you power to become the sons of God. So now, the reason it didn't say Jesus there, because that would have gave you an excuse. Even when Jesus talked, you hear sometimes he said, you know, the Son of Man, or he called himself the Son of God. He said, the Father said, I sent the Son of God in. The reason he spoke, I was talking about the third person last week, I said, because you're the third person, right? Right? The reason he spoke that way, because if he'd have put Jesus there, J-E-S-U-S, then you would have had an excuse not to be that. You see? Because you'd have said, I came up when I was younger, I came up thinking that Jesus was Superman. I thought it was just, I never saw me in him. I never saw us being connected. I saw him as a savior, right? And I saw him as as Super Jesus, but I never saw who I was in him. I never saw my identity. Are y'all understanding me? Sometimes that might be your story too, amen, right? Right, I saw him, and and maybe because we were taught a certain way at a certain time in life, right? But I would see him as this, so all the miracles, I just thought they were amazing that Jesus did them, but I didn't think I could do them until I read the scripture one day that Jesus started talking and said, the works that I do, shall you do all, what? What do you mean by this? That the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go into my Father. Hold on. Now that clicks in my mind, you telling me something different here. You're showing me something that I didn't see before. Religiously, I was excited about the resurrection. And I was excited about the blood that was shed. It made me shed a tear when I talk about it. Religiously, I was all excited about all these things going on. Until I realized you were talking about me. From day one until the day that he ascended. You know, they still were talking about Jesus in Acts. To the day he ascended with his glorified body, he was showing us who we are. He said it over and over again, you and me, as I'm in the Father, you and me, over and over again. He was telling you who you are. Are y'all with me? So now the whole time, Jesus is teaching us to be the church. He told Peter, I don't have time to go read, he told Peter, and thou art, remember last week? And you are. Peter, right? And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now, we know the only person that was described as a rock was Jesus. He was a stone that the builders rejected. I ain't got time to go to that scripture. But the scripture talking about he was a cornerstone, a chief cornerstone. Talking about he was the rock that the builders rejected. That's the only time we heard about a rock, building your house upon a rock, right? Right? That was the only time we was hearing about this. Then he began to call Peter the rock. Why? Because he had a revelation of the Christ. So now here Jesus is telling, we come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. He's talking about the knowledge of you, who Christ is in you. Finish reading that scripture, verse 13. You reading it? Read it from the beginning. Ready, read. Unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. All right, what else? All right, the Son of God. It didn't say Jesus there, right? It said the Son of God, right? All right, keep going. Uh-huh. Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of who? Christ. That's Christ in you. And in the scripture, middle of the scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? I ain't got time to go there. You find it for yourself. You be a student, right? Another scripture talking about that Christ be formed. You get it? The whole point. Jesus' whole lifestyle was to bring you to the Christ. To show you how to operate, right, in this flesh as the Christ. Now once you get a revelation of how to operate as God in the flesh, does that shake you up a little bit? Does that shake you up when I tell you you're acting like God in the flesh? That shake you up a little bit, huh? You thought one nation under God, indivisible, right? You thought you under God, right? And you right? You didn't really think you was that connected. So you begin to pray. The Bible talks about praying amidst. You read that statement? Where the kingdom of God? Low there. No, the kingdom of God is. Where you communicate with God at? You ever thought about that? You ever gave that some good thought? You know, we pray a lot of prayers out here. And we yell a lot of things toward the sky when we worship. And amen. And we do a lot of stuff. But where you communicate with God at? You get it? Sometimes you're missing God because you're looking for him in the wrong place. You ready? God moving over here. Look, he doing. That's what the word of God is. So, have you ever done that? We go to this meeting. God working over here, but then you get over there and realize it ain't really, it's church as usual. And God working over, so you go to the next meeting, you God working over here. You gonna go get your word, right? God working over here, right? Low here, low there. No, it's right there inside of you. You screaming all these prayers out in the air, right? When you should look on the inside. Let's just get quiet and see what God is saying to you on the inside. It's time to calm down and see what God is saying to you on the inside. Are you understanding me? Because this is where we communicate with God. See, it's until you realize that you are Christ. You get it? Well, Christ said, the anointed one and his anointing. Y'all seeing it? The anointed one. All right, cause listen to the statement. Wow, thank God for this. Wow, we define Christ as the anointed one and his anointing, right? Well, wow. The anointed one. Just the fact that I am an anointed one, meaning I had to be anointed by another one. The fear about this conversation and what I'm saying right now is that when I say you are Christ, the fear about this is you start thinking you're being sacrilegious. Or I say you are gods. And I didn't say it. Jesus told you that. I didn't show you the scriptures. It's in red. You are gods, right? But the fear is, I know I'm not God. I don't want to try to act like I'm God. You already know you ain't almighty. You know it, don't you? Come on, amen. Everybody say amen. You already know you are almighty. So why are we having this conversation? But you are of God, little children. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. 1 John 4:4. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I know you thought that was about you versus them. Can I get y'all a good one real quick? I know you thought that was about you versus them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But both of them, he's is you. So greater is Stephanie that is inside than Stephanie that's in the world. Are y'all with it? Can y'all understand it too much? That too much? You get it? You understand it? Greater are you from the inside than you being on the outside. Well, I was listening to Apostle talk yesterday, and it's two places. It's within and then without. Now, normally we use the word without saying we don't have something, right? But no, there's a place. It depends on the context how you use it. But within and without. Say it within and without. Come on, say it again. Within and without. Come on, say it again. Within and without. Watch this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So whatever, you better keep your insides, because your insides produce your outside. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You get it? You get it? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You get whatever's coming from the inside. So it all starts where? On the inside. So you got within and without. Within, you get it? And without. Are y'all with me? Within and without. And so I got to the scripture and it said, without faith, is it possible to please him? That means outside faith ain't going to get nothing done. But inside faith, I can please God. Now, not only me being inside faith, but then having inside faith. Y'all getting it? So not great is he. Let me say this. You're greater on the inside than you are outside. You just don't know it. You just don't get it. Your greatness is on the inside. It's the Christ in you. This is church. We will not be able to fully function. Well, what's the church job then? Come on, your own opinion. What are we supposed to be doing in church? Come on, go ahead. Go ahead. Come on. Y'all been in church for a while, huh? Huh, haven't you? So what are we supposed to be doing then? I'm asking a question. I ain't got no list for you. Healing the sick? Come on, what else? What are we supposed to be doing? Witnessing? Come on, what are we supposed to be doing? Come on, what are we supposed to be doing? As church, what are we supposed to be doing? What's our great mandate as a church? You think about that, so we know how to church. There's nothing to be the church. See, church ain't coming here on Sunday morning. On time. or Wednesday, perfect attendance. Or coming to prayer meeting. Those are things that enhance church. That ain't church. The trick of the enemy. Y'all want to be church or not? Y'all want to be church? So y'all want me to tell you the truth, right? See, the trick of the enemy is to make you think that church is something separated from you. So you going to the church. No. You are the church. That's okay. Where you stay at right now, right? Your house you live in, right? Right? Is that you? Come on now. Come on. Is that you? When you go home tonight, is that place that you're sleeping in, is that you or are you in that house? Right? But the house ain't you, right? Right. Same thing when you come to service. You in the house. Your church house. Let's call it that. The church house. The house that houses the church. Y'all. You get it? Not the institution. Now, the enemy has over the years, through traditions of men, made us think that it was an institution. Or it was a regulation. Or it was something else other than you. Can you see the trick now? And wouldn't it be great for you to believe that there's a, watch this, you ready for this? It's going to be a strong one, right? Wouldn't it be great to believe that there's a God separated from you? But scripture said, what's separated from the love of God, right? And the love of God is the God of God, because God is love, ain't he? Right? Can't nothing separate us from the love of God, right? Right? But ain't it great for you to think that there's a God somewhere separate from you? Wouldn't that be great for the enemy to make you think that? Because then you'll never think that you're connected or have power. Or you never think that you're in the family. Or you always think that sometimes, somewhere along the line, you can get cut off. Are y'all understanding me? So now you're living a life of fear and worry and concern. See the trick? You see the trick? Here is why the institution of what the church is, thank God. Here's why the institution of what the church is has not been doing all of the things that it's been screaming about it's supposed to do. You know, we got a lot of good messages. And we got a lot of good preachers. And we got a lot of good singers. And we got a lot of good hoopers. But people still sick. How is the world getting worse? If this is the case. How is you got billions of Christians and the world get worse? Can I help you with Christians? Can I help y'all? Jesus never said the word. Go search. He never said the word. He never told us, you go and be Christians. You ready? You American? You American? Mm-hmm. Why you American? Why you American? No, why you American? Because you live where? I don't get to call you African American, whatever that is. American, because you live, you're from America. So people from Italy, they're Italian. People from Africa, they're African, right? People from Mexico, they're Mexican, right? So that shows where you're from, right? But it's a place, right? And Ephesians, we get biblical, so the book of Ephesians. No, Ephesians was a church. It was the people of Ephesus. Galatians, Romans from Rome, right? Philippians, Philippi, Colossians, all those Eans, right? That's Thessalonians, all of this from a certain place, right? And so I don't know, they must have got excited and said, well, you know what? We're going to be Christians. And it's a cool little idea. It's a cool little thing. You know, don't y'all throw no rocks at me. It's a cool little thing that somebody made up because I'm from Christ. But you know, that whole thing has brought a stigma upon who we are as Christ. Because are you from Christ or are you Christ? You get it? Are you, all right, because now we got a question now. Now we got a question. We got a question what the Christ told us. Are we Are we joint heirs with Christ or not? Are we sons of God or no? Are we second-rate sons? What's going on? See, we've got to know. We've got to know. We've got to take this word and get in there and know what it is saying to us as individuals. Are y'all understanding me? Join heirs with Christ. Abide in me and I in you. John 15 says over and over again. Are y'all understanding me? You have to know who you are before you start trying to do who you are. We've been trying to do a lot of things and not knowing who we were. So you want to heal the sick, don't you? But you can't because you don't even know you got the power. You still been calling on, you still been yelling out Jesus' name like it was Alakazam.
I'll
just take your word for it. You ever prayed a prayer and prayed in Jesus' name and nothing happened? Come on, everybody, come on, amen. Come on, come on. You pray in Jesus' name and nothing changed. Huh? Ain't nothing wrong with the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about J-E-S-U-S, I'm talking about character right now. But maybe you prayed amiss because you thought in Jesus' name, there is power in the name of Jesus. Y'all like the song, huh? That's our favorite song, right? We liked it, huh? You better understand what you're saying. Because it ain't just because we're singing it. Oh, that wonderful name. They skip the fact that it's a name. Which inside of that means a character. So now that makes me, now I can no longer yell this out. Jesus, Jesus. No. He that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's scripture. Call on the character. Call on the function. Are y'all understanding me? You get it? So now we've got to go down into the character of Jesus to see who we are. Then we begin to function. This scripture said it just now. Paul, the apostle Paul, is very closely related to us because he did not physically walk with Jesus. Oh, but he had a moment with him. When he was on that road to Damascus, right? Right? And got knocked off that beast. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. And started giving him instructions. And then Paul started talking. And one of the greatest things he said, the life that I now live in, I live it by the faith of who? The Son of God. He didn't say the faith of Jesus. You better pay attention when you see Son of God. Come on, I'm helping you. Huh? I'm helping you, right? Now your study ain't going to change. See, we've been reading the Bible, but we ain't been reading the Bible. You get it? You go back, you're going to go read the Bible now, and you're going to start seeing the Son of God, and when you see the Son of God, you're going to see you. This is going to change everything. Like, that's about you. It's going to change everything. So now when you see the Son of God, well, that's me. And so now you begin to see what you have been endowed to do. Who you've been endowed to be. God been thinking this way of you for the whole time. He just said, Jesus is so special. I'm not taking nothing away from Jesus. Jesus is so special because God sent him down, right? Put himself on the inside of flesh. We know that, right? John 1, so I tell them the whole thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he's talking about him was the light, and he was the light of the world, and the darkness comprehended him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We can go over and over again. So now, Jesus came and showed us how this thing went. Showed us how it worked. He showed us how to be the Christ. And you are, Peter. You get it? You say this mountain beat our move and beat our cast to the sea. And the next line is very important. He said, and shall not doubt in his heart. Right? There ain't no doubt in God. The doubt comes in your heart. Well, I would imagine I would be doubting in my heart if I don't know who I am. I would imagine I'd be praying, wishing. Most of our prayers are really wishes. We wishing, I wish God do something. Because anytime you pray and there's doubt involved, you wishing. Hoping and a praying, right? Y'all know they're hoping and a praying, right? Yeah. You're not commanding anything. I hope something happens. But the only reason that happens is because you're not sure of who you are. The only thing the enemy got is deception, disagreement, and dissension. He wants to deceive you, make you forget what man or man you are. So he calls you to be double-minded. That's James 1, right? Right? You saw yourself in the glass, but you forgot what you look like, right? The glass also goes with looking into the perfect law of liberty. It's talking about Jesus. Are y'all getting me? It's talking about the Christ. Are y'all with me? Disagreement, right? He wants you to be disagreeing. See, he wants you to disagree with what I'm saying right now. He wants you to say, nah, we're going back to our old ways right here. You too far out in this water. Everything I said is scripture. You go look it up yourself. Go do some study time. I ain't tell you nothing outside of scripture. Then even he said, search some scriptures. Then you think they had life, but they testified me. But you won't come all the way to me. That means he must be somewhere past scripture. He said it, I didn't. He even said the letter itself kill it, but the spirit give it life. Over and over again. Are you getting me? So now disagreement, so he wants you to disagree with who you are. Now the double-mindedness makes disagreement. This is why you got to be mindful of what you let go in your ear gate and your eye gate. You got to be mindful. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So you got to be mindful what you continue to allow yourself to hear. This is why going to a church house and being led by apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, right? This is why it's important who they are. Just because they call themselves something doesn't mean you need to be listening to what they're saying. Because if they're not saying this, then it's causing doubt. Anything outside of Jesus is doubt. So why it's important now. It's important what I let go in. Because I cannot alignment. Everybody say alignment. I have to be, my mind has to be aligned with the Christ. And I cannot let myself, well, what happened when your car go out of alignment? Y'all done had it before. Wheel got the shakes. Don't you? Y'all ever had your car and it wasn't aligned? Your wheel got the shake. You sit on the road, but you shaking. By the time you get there, you get out the car shaking. You all shook up. You can't focus. You can't be smooth. You can't flow like you should. Because there's no. It's not a deception. And he's deceiving you to disagree. And he's trying to call dissension. Which gets you in there in disagreement and separated. Then he's trying to call separation. All the traditions of men, right? And the law of sin and death. The law, the old law we were talking about, is the law of sin and death. Because all they talk about is sin and death. If you don't do this, what the law said, thou shalt not. It kept on saying what thou shalt not do. The focus in every sentence, thou shalt not kill. The focus of that is killing. Like whether I tell you, don't you kill not. You ever see these little kids, sometimes it was you when you was a young kid. They keep telling you don't go touch that fire on that stove. Don't go touch that. And no matter how many times I tell you, but it's pretty. It's pretty. Look at the pretty blue red. But don't you touch that. Well, as many times they tell you don't touch it, that's how many more times you want to. Come on, don't go over there. Don't walk around that corner, because if you ever go around that corner, boy, so now you all you wondering about is the corner. And even though you know there might be some danger around there, I'm willing to take that chance because y'all done gave me faith for the corner. So thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not kill. And I keep telling you, thou shalt not kill. All you hearing is kill, 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 kill. And you got faith for. Are y'all with me? It kept on, it's the law of sin and death. It was sin, it tells you what you do if you commit the sin, and then what's gonna happen to you. Instead of the law of life and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has made me free. So now what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own son in the same flesh, And for sin in the flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, all right? Condemned it, got rid of it, did away with it, did away with its power over you. Now what Jesus has allowed us to do, and this is what we should be passing out as church. Are you understanding me? This is what ministry is. What he has allowed us to do is to be free to progress in liberty and not, watch where I'm standing. You watch where I'm standing? He took me from a position of fighting off sin and living my life like this. I can't even turn around and go on the road because I got to keep fighting this sin and getting this sin off of me to turn around to a place of liberty where I can fly in freedom. Are y'all seeing me? So now he's freed me to move ahead in his will. And not only did he do that, but you say, well, what the sin doing? He cut it. It can't do nothing. He cut it. It can't do nothing. He made me free from it. He cut it. It can't do nothing. Are y'all understanding me? So now the deception, you know, we preach this and people can't really conceive this. Confession is for you. You confess your sins? I'll give you another one. You ready? You can't repent to somebody. I want to repent to you. Well, repent in the old Greek, in the Hebrew, means to change your mind. How do you change your mind to somebody? That's for you. When you repent, that's for you. When you confess, they told me something. And it's the scripture. It's, God is, it's funny. God is omniscient, omnipotent. What? Omnipresent. He everywhere. He all knowing. Right? If he all knowing, then when you made a mistake, he already knew it, didn't he? So would you go and tell him? So that he already forgave you. He already forgave you. It is finished. So who confession is for? The only person that can condemn you is you. God already said, Jesus, the Father did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. He said, my Father ain't going to condemn you. So who's doing all this condemning? Well, see, the power of God is on the inside of you. So the power of God is on the inside. See, the enemy wants to fool you to make you use that power to condemn yourself. Because you're the only one that can. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. As you begin to condemn yourself, you begin to, and even if you make a mistake, right? You ever made a mistake before? Then he won't beat you down, huh? No, that's all that's taken care of already. Throw up. Throw up, right? When anything ever gets in your system that don't agree with your system, throwing up is, and excuse me being cruel, but that is the result of your body saying this shouldn't be in here, and so you regurgitate it, right? That's a confession. Are y'all understanding me? Because that's for you. Are y'all getting me? And then now I've gotten this out. I've gotten this out of my system. And so now my system can function. And the enemy coming now, but he ain't got nothing in me. Remember Jesus said that? Yeah, you too. So he tried to come in there and he going to try to condemn. He don't have the power to condemn you. But he'll make you feel condemned so that you condemn. You see the tricks? I'm exposing the tricks. Can you see the tricks? You got to go back and listen to this one. Right? You got to go back and listen to this class. All right. All right. And I pray that you do it. You're watching online. I pray that y'all go back and watch. You got to go watch because you're not going to hear everything I'm saying right now. But you go back and watch it. You, knowing who you are lets you function the way that you should. Now, the level that you're functioning on right now is the level of your knowing of who you are. Y'all get it? Now, we just got to own up to that. That the level of manifestation that I'm functioning in is the level of manifestation that I have, or revelation that I have of the Christ in me. You get it? It's even further on the scripture, it says, you're doing all these different things, you're walking the vanity of your mind, but you have not so learned Christ. That is, if you've been taught by him. Are y'all understanding me? So now, as church, God bless regulation and God bless rules. The Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster until maturity. It's in the scripture. It said the law was made to be a schoolmaster Well, you remember when school, huh? I remember I was having a conversation with some people about when I was in school and some of the stuff I was doing when I was in school and some stuff I didn't understand. I needed a schoolmaster. I needed a schoolmaster from kindergarten up until 12th grade. I was a little bit mature when I got, but I needed a schoolmaster. I need a master after. And why them kids be going to college and going crazy? Because ain't no. Are y'all understanding me? But it is a schoolmaster until the time of maturity. Don't it sound like it's something until we come into the unity of the faith? Don't tell we come into understanding who Christ is in us and who we are in him and that we're the same. What did he mean then? I know you shake your head up a little bit when we get to talking like that. And you're going to get in your car, you go to the next class, or whenever, and they're going to shake you up like, I'm Christ. Right? But what did he mean? I like to slow down and just break down and just take it. What did you mean when you said the works that I do, so you do also? What did this mean? You ever thought about that? Like, what did you mean? Well, what work is you talking about? Right? What works is that which ones are excluded? Which ones can I not do? Did he specify? Huh? And we talking about Jesus now. Do we believe his book or not? Do we believe the word of God or not? Come on, answer me now. Do we believe in red words or not? He said, the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works needs that I go unto my Father. You're going to do these same works. Oh, you know what I just saw? Oh. I thought, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. That second, I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all gotta. I thought he was saying, because I go to the Father, you're gonna be able to do these works and greater works. But the price was already paid because it was finished when he died. Y'all remember, now go back and read, you know, you go read the story, go read the account. They said, when he said it was finished and he gave it up, that's when the graves opened. They didn't open on the third day. Them graves popped open. They say people started getting up out the grave. They say the veil was torn when he gave it up. That's a little bit for your reading. Because you thought everything was done on the other day. Are y'all with me? But now he said, because I go unto my Father, so now I'm going to say it, the text interpretation, right? The works that I do, shall you do also. And you're going to do greater works than these on this earth, because I'm going to the Father. That's why you're going to get to do greater work, because you're going to be here. Are y'all getting me? Hey, man, I ain't got time to go on. Praise the Lord. Listen, I will pray. Your mind is like that, huh? Yeah, but now go back and read your word. Go back and read the scripture, and it's going to be a little open to you. Right? It's going to I'm not saying it wasn't exciting before, but it's going to be exciting. Y'all got it? Amen.